Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about, firstly, talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today I have with me Lucas Bueno. Lucas is 26 years old and is the proud owner of a couture design company called Maison Cruz Bueno Couture, which specializes in bespoke designs for women. He established it in 2013. Already he's had a number of successful collections. He has an international client base, and I personally have had the honor of wearing some of his pieces. Lucas is another of my young entrepreneurs in this series, and Lucas actually is very interesting because although he had a very artistic background right from the beginning and lived in Brazil and then Portugal, when he came to London to establish his brand, he came alone without a computer, with a very antiquated phone, with no revenue or savings, and had to start right from the bottom on his own, working in retail in London. And over a 2 to 3 year period, through creating beautiful pieces, through knowing how to present them, through learning customer service in retail, and through using the amazing free platform that is social media, he managed to produce his first collection and also to meet a business partner, and together they created Maison Cruz Bueno. So Lucas, it's lovely to see you today. Thank you so much for joining us. If we could start by just getting a rundown from you of where you went to school, what you were like at school, and your journey from school until now.
Okay, so I was born in 1991, October. I have a mother that is a writer. She loves to write poems and school plays. And my dad is a musician. So I was always very surrounded with, you know, art and rhythm. So when I went to school, I was always very inclined to creative stuff. And when I came to London in 2001.
And you were age 10 then.
Exactly. I was age 10. It was North London. I went to school, secondary school, and it was really fun to learn a new language. It was very exciting for me as being young and to have this opportunity. And it was normal school, so I didn't have the chance to express myself. And when I was trying to get that feeling of, you know, fulfilling yourself as being a creative, my family moved to Lisbon just for job opportunities. And at that time, I was introduced to dance, and I was in normal school at the time because my story has many layers, mm-hmm. so it's kind of difficult to extract, but at the same time, I was introduced to dance.
And when you were at school, what was your experience of school? I mean, what type of child were you? Were you very academic, social? Tell us a bit more about your experience at school.
In school, I was not very social, not because I didn't like my colleagues, but I was always very focused in what is ahead in my future, what I wanted to be. And I think part of that has to be credited by my parents, because they were always pushing me to excel myself in all areas, even being that young. And I was always sitting there focused, what should I do? you know, going through the school works, because I believe that I was in that environment and I should absorb as much as I can. So I never had many friends. I was always sitting there by myself. I was bullied a few times because I was the ugly duck and I didn't get along very well with the people that just wanted to party, just wanted to hang around. I was very focused, and not everyone in sitting around in class schools are very focused. So I was tend to incline my relationship towards the teachers because I was looking for a mature feedback about my growth, how I was doing. And the relationship that I developed with my teachers were very positive. And I still have friends that, you know, we email each other and we follow each other on social media. And they always say they're very, very proud because I was sitting there and they knew that I had potential. So they were like giving the classes to me only because half of my class was, they weren't paying attention. So
although you suffered the sort of some of the pain of maybe not being the most popular or experiencing bullying, the upside of it was that you had a lot of interaction with your teachers. Yes. And therefore a lot of input and guidance. How were you academically?
Well, I was pretty good. I was a good student. I was working hard. And again, my parents were always there supporting me and saying that I should excel myself in everything I do, even if there is difficulties ahead. I was very good in the projects, in creating creative writings or even creating language in stories and building up, you know, information related to German, which I had in school. I was really fond of understanding new languages. So and I won several awards, and I won best students in all the years in school.
And I think looking back, that probably gave you a lot of inner confidence about your own abilities. I know you mentioned previously that one of the things that you was not so keen on was maths and numbers, and yet you seemed to overcome that as well, didn't you?
Yes, that's a story that my mum laughs, because when I finished secondary school and I had to follow a subject, I wanted to follow arts because I wanted to be every day involved with creations and crafting art and drawing and sketching. And when I applied to art school, I didn't get in. And I was very upset, and I was really not depressed because I was still young to know what's depression. But I was very down. And my mother, without me knowing, she registered me to do an accountancy course. And then she later explained me that she wanted me to overcome that area. She didn't want me to go on with my life having that gray area, that dark area in my life, because maybe later on it would bite me back. So she wanted to equip me for my life. So I was very upset because I had to go 3 years in a accountancy course, but I was like already having some negative thoughts. And I think yourself pulling yourself down doesn't help the system. You have to be able to find some light at the end of the tunnel. So I saw the schedule and the subjects that I would be having in the first year, and I saw that I would have English and I would have German. And I always loved languages and knowing more what's out there. So I said, you know, let's give it a try, maybe for 1 year, and then after this I choose another course. So I went first year. I had some struggles in the beginning because everything was around numbers and I was scared. I was my biggest monster in front of me every day.
Yeah.
But my teachers they understood me. They understood that I had some gray areas to clear. And they helped me to learn the basics. And first year, I won the merit for best student of my class.
Wow.
I followed on second year. I had the same. I was getting better and better. And I had second year award as well. And then on the third year, I had best student of the whole course in the whole 3 years, and I received a good amount of money, and I was pretty happy when I graduated. And it made me realize that you should not hide from your biggest fears. You should face, of course I had the push of my parents, but if you don't have your parents to push you or to understand who you really want to be, you have to be able to try to fight for yourself.
I think it's such an important lesson there, that you know, we hear so many individuals say that they are really not very good at something. You know, very often it is maths, actually, where people just say, you know, look, I'm terrible at that. It's just not a skill of mine. And they move on, and they hold on to that belief forever, and that belief is a limiting belief because it stops them pursuing goals as they progress through life. And so what you've shown is a great example here of just tackling it head on, like you said, and turning it around to the point where then you're not just competent, you're actually excelling at something.
Exactly.
So after you completed that, you then applied to Dance Uni. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so while I was doing the accountancy course, I was dancing since 2001. So for me, that was already my backbone. I loved rhythm. I loved expressing myself with my body. And, you know, when you find yourself, you find what your soul wants to have. And young, to be a dancer, you need a young body. So I said it was either now or it would be too late. So I was very happy with my decision. I applied to Dance University in Lisbon and I got selected. So going through the years, I developed a few friends, and that was the first time that I was actually socially active. And, you know, I hang out with friends while in lunch. I had still a lot of relationship with my friends from accountancy course, but that whole concept of looking forward to a mature profile in order to absorb as much as I can of their experience really was with me throughout the whole time.
And it's nice to hear that, you know, when you were actually involved in something that you felt naturally happy and comfortable in your dance, that's when your social side
flourished
as well.
Yes.
Now, obviously, I am interviewing you because of the fact that you are very successful in terms of fashion, and we haven't actually to talking about fashion yet. So, so far, we're as far as your dancing. So tell us how the fashion came about.
So because my whole life is so much layered and things led to one another, my introduction to making garments was introduced back in 2007 when my dance team asked us to do some costumes. So I joined in and I said, I have some ideas, let's do it. We bought some fabrics. I didn't know how to sew, so they gave me a sewing machine and I said, oh my God, so what should I do next? So I sat there in my room in Lisbon and I started doing straight seam. It was trial and error, believe me. But at the end of the process, I was pretty happy with the end result. And I said, wow, that's a challenge that I managed to succeed. So I saw that I developed the potential. And so I continued doing dance costumes from 2007 to 2011. And 2011, a friend of mine said, I'm going to a wedding and I need a dress. Can you please help me? Can you please create something for me? And I said, but you have to understand that I do dance costumes. It's not fashion, as you know. And she said, but it's fine. I love the way your dress hangs, the way it moves. So I said, using that idea of movement, the body, and being able to be comfortable helped me to build the dress. So we posted pictures on Facebook at the time, and people started asking for different sizes, different colors. And I was astonished by the great response I had. And I said, there is potential there, and I should develop that potential. So when I graduated in 2012, I had the opportunity to do the costumes for my performance, which I choreographed for my end year. And it had great reviews. My teachers loved because I was able to make a complete package of the choreography with the costumes. Mm. And that's pretty much the same ideas which I now apply building my collections.
Mm. So how did you set about establishing your brand and get to where you are now?
So when I graduated Dance University, I knew that I didn't want to be in the stage receiving the claps at the end of a performance. For me, it was all about the behind-the-scenes work, the rehearsals, the endless pain, the aching of your muscles, and trying to become better and better and perfect, because classical dance is about right and wrong. And I always wanted to be on the right side, doing the right things. Mm-hmm. So with that in my mind, I said, it's now time for me to move on and apply all that I've learned in this 10 years into what I really wanted to do. And that's create garments. And that passion was very new. And barely did I know that the fashion industry comes with such a huge price. And I said, I'm ready for it. So I packed everything. I got all my fabrics and I moved to London. And without knowing anyone, having no connection, I said, let's face it. And I started working in retail, getting some sales advisor positions, trying to understand customer relationship and trying to understand how this system, this industry works.
But always with the mind of establishing a brand?
Yes, always. I always wanted to direct my team, to choreograph my own performance. That was my whole life about.
And so how did you go from working in retail, not knowing anyone, not particularly well equipped with systems by the sounds of it, because you didn't have a computer quite an antiquated phone, you said. And then, you know, but here you are now with this wonderful brand and several collections later. So how did that happen?
It happened very naturally. And I believe that my life, I strongly believe, and I tell people all the time, if it's not organic, if it's not harmonious, it's not meant to be. So my whole life, the doors closing, the doors opening, the opportunities I had, everything led for me to meet my business partner, which heard my story, heard about my product, about my ideas, and said, I believe in you. Let's start something great. And when I heard that, I was like, whoa, things actually can happen.
Mm. So tell us where you are now. Tell us a little bit about your brand, the collections, and a typical day.
So I'm now the creative and artistic director of Maison Cruz Bueno Couture, which is a London-based bespoke tailoring of couture for women's. And it's all about providing the clients with an experience of couture. And it's about praising the craftsmanship of the artisans when they craft a garment. The handmade techniques, the embroidering techniques, the passion, the hours, the amount of dedication that goes behind each piece, from a very simple one to a very flamboyant garment, there is a lot of work and passion and dedication, which we have to try to transmit to people.
So tell us about a typical day for you.
So I wake up around 7, 8. Sometimes earlier than that, and I start by replying to emails, checking social media stats, see how the Instagram did during the previous day, and scheduling the posts for the following weeks, sending to my team, making sure that I have my schedule confirmed for the day. Usually I go straight to the atelier around 10. I stay with my team until lunchtime, directing them for the tasks they have to do during the week, making sure there is quality and control, making sure they understand each client, because I get the opportunity to sit down with every client. And then after that, I go to the showroom where I have my meetings. Usually I meet clients for fittings, and sometimes it goes from 7 all the way to 8 p.m. And then I return home. I try to get a nice shower, cook some real nice food. I love cooking.
And do you work at weekends?
Yes, well, I discovered, and that's for everyone listening now, when you own a business, it's 24/7. You have to own it. You cannot select when or how you want to do things, because when you depend on other people, other parties to engage with your business, you have to be able to be flexible enough. And running a business, I discovered that.
And what of all of those activities is your favorite?
I love my clients. They own half of my heart, but the other half is owned by being surrounded by a creative atmosphere, and that's in my atelier, creating garments.
And what would you say is your biggest challenge?
The biggest challenge is to have a clear message that people can hear in this crowd and noisy industry, which is fashion, because we are completely opposite mass production and standardized sizes. It's difficult to get a message across, because within that crowd, there is only a few people that understands what we do and appreciates the art of what you do. And what we do is art, to be worn by beautiful ladies every day in their lives and to celebrate who they are. And most of the people are just interested in going to a shop and getting few items and then wear for a couple of months and then that's it. That's the end life of a garment. For us, it's about projecting an art that will live with you for 10, 15, 20 years, and later on will be passed on to your own generation. Mm. And it's really making a statement.
And so on that vein, just talk a little bit more about where you think this could lead for you, because although you've achieved an amazing feat already, you are so early on in your career. So where could this lead?
Yes, I'm 26. Some people, when they meet me, they say, how old are you? And they say, are you 30? Are you 32? And I'm saying, no, I'm 26. And it's interesting how they see me. And they that's the feedback they have. It's like, I'm very mature. And we have been receiving great demand in terms of couture internationally. We have requests from shops, which we tend to turn down because our message is not about being in a shop floor. It's about you experiencing our couture. And again, I want to have exhibitions. I want to have ateliers and showrooms all over the world where people can actually book an appointment and experience the Cruz Bueno power, be empowered by what we produce, the art, the craftsmanship, the dedication, feel the passion.
So people listening in on this who are inspired and want to follow in your footsteps but just don't know how to do that, what sorts of things would you suggest to them?
To do what I do, and I describe myself as a couturier because my passion is actually making the garments, not only designing. That's part of the stage of the production. But I think you have to be very passionate and you have to dedicate your time sitting down, owning a sewing machine, buying pieces of fabrics and trying to create something, trying to translate your vision, which is in your head, to something 3D. And that's very difficult. Mm. I don't believe that you need to go to school. I believe that you have to be handy. You have to be very crafty because it's part of your daily routine to create something with your hands. Mm. So social media has a huge impact. You have to be able to deal with that. When I started, I didn't have my phone, for example, but that's how it impacted my business, people posting my things. So it's good for you to be out there, to have people wearing your garments, even if it's a very basic garment, people wearing on a day-to-day basis, get feedback from people, things that work, things that didn't work. If it didn't work, try to improve it. Don't only look for good feedback, because I was very perfectionist and very strong about myself, I knew that I make good things. Mm. I know that my product is good. So I wasn't looking for the good criticism because people will tell you that.
And would you suggest that individuals should work in retail? And if so, in London?
Yes, customer service is very important when doing my job because it's about reading people. It's about body language, trying to understand moods, feelings, tones of the voice. So working in retail, especially in London, gets you the opportunity to understand new cultures.
And you mentioned Legacy earlier, and both you and I on separate occasions attended the Christian Dior exhibition.
Yes.
In Paris, didn't we?
Exactly.
In 2017. And certainly there's a legacy there. And I have every faith that in the future we're going to see an exhibition Cruz Bueno.
Yes, you will.
It is absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much for spending the time.
Thank you so
really
much, dear.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
If people want to see some of your creations, where's best for them to go?
I'm very reachable via my email, which you can find in our website, cruzbueno.com. You can follow us as well in social media. It's at cruzbueno_official. You find our latest news there, latest designs, and you can also reach me there. My team will direct your message. If you're looking for opportunities to learn more about the art, learn some experience interning in our atelier, we often have opportunities available, so please reach me. If you want to know more, I'm happy to have a coffee with you and try to inspire and motivate you.
Lucas, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.